There is a darkness that lurks inside all of us. Time to bring it into the light.
Welcome to Sick Minds with Alistair Griggs and Nico Tatarovich.
Ah, welcome. Welcome to another Sick Minds. I'm Nico Tatarovich.
And I'm Alistair Griggs.
And we are now getting into the stride of our podcast, Sick Minds.
Oh, yeah.
Which is what, Alistair?
It's basically a sort of delving into the sort of dark, horrible thoughts that we have every day. Mm-hmm. But society says we're not allowed to have.
I have to shout.
All right.
Pizza. You do get quite angry at society.
Yeah. Isn't
it? One of your main bugbears.
Yeah.
Just the world at large. Now, it's quite a simple setup, isn't it, Sick Minds? It's me, Nico.
And myself.
You, Ali. Alistair.
Yeah.
Alistair.
Yeah.
And a guest. Someone with a sort of vague presence. A profile, I think they call it.
Yeah.
And today's guest, with his vague profile, is Matthew Crosby, who you may have seen on things like 8 out of 10 cats.
Yeah, and well, he's part of the Pappies.
Pappy's fan club. He's one of them. He's the one with the beard. He's the one that looks like a musketeer.
Yeah.
Out of Pappy's. But there's something amiss here, Alistair, because Matt's not here, is he?
He really isn't.
He's literally not here yet.
His form has not entered the studio.
No. He texted me at 13:29 with this message. Just arrived at Kent House. To find all the trains to Victoria are cancelled. Mm. I'm getting a bus to Crystal Palace, but I might be a bit late. Massive, massive apologies. I'll keep you posted.
Mm. I don't know how to say that, because I've got opinions on lateness, which Matthew is now very late.
He's obviously out of his control. He has sent a further message saying he should be with us by 2:15, which is in 1 minute. Right? So, how do we go with this?
Well, no, 2 o'clock. Look, I'm not being mean about it, but I just think that, you know, I've not, like, lateness, personally for myself, I've been late 5 times in my whole life, and that's as far as childhood.
Fuck off. 5 times ever?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I just am very good at time management. I just
don't you
can
think
feel.
Luck?
No, I can almost feel the time going, like the sun movement. Not.
What are you? Some sort of kestrel?
I'm a Native American.
Yeah,
I can feel it.
So, I don't want to.
What do we do?
What do we do? Well, we've already started, which is fine. But I think we should just make a virtue of him being late. And actually, what we've done is, we haven't set him a chair up. So when he does arrive, listeners, we're going to do our best to make him feel as bad as possible.
It's the only decent thing we could do.
It's the only entertaining thing we can do.
Yeah, funny.
So when he gets here, he'll find that the chair that he's supposed to be sitting on, it's over there. It's behind a monitor that's on wheels. It's got a coat and a bag on it. I'm going to go for him.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for him, and then we can resume with the show.
Yeah, I'll try and defend him, but I think Nico's going to really go to town.
I'm going to text him. I know this is. I know this. I'm not a seasoned broadcaster.
No,
I'm guessing that texting isn't what they call like audio gold. But I'm going to do it.
No.
How are you getting on?
At least you're spelling out what you're texting.
How
otherwise,
are you getting on?
How are you getting on, Matt? Just filling up the time here.
You idiot. You idiot.
That's nice.
Right. Right, so, blue tick already. So he's read it.
Oh.
Hopefully this will be.
Is he typing already?
He's typing.
Oh, well, that's.
Matt Crosby typing. 2 mins away.
Wow.
So you reckon you've only been late 5 times. I've got a really bad habit of being pretty much 9 minutes late for nearly everything, unless it's like a proper thing where it starts whenever, and then I have to be there early or I get a sort of panicky, anxiety, attacky feeling, and I start sweating. Hopefully that's what he's going through now. If I was in his position now, I would be just unbelievably stressed. Oh. I hate the idea of people sitting here judging me when I'm late. And it literally was the trains, but like, are they going to believe that?
No, and it's that kind of gut-dropping feeling when you realise you're going to be late for me. So that's why I've just conditioned myself never to be late.
So it's a control thing.
Yeah, I would just... And if I am going to look like I'm going to be late, I will do anything to be on time.
What does that mean?
I mean, well, you know, I'll get an
Uber. In a film where you drag someone out of their car. Get out! Sort of thing Kurt Russell would do in an action film.
Yeah. I wish.
Go on, what have you done then to get to somewhere on time?
It sounds harder than it is. I mean, I'd get an Uber, which...
Well, to be fair, with their reputation as a sort of defenders of the of sex pests, and like an immorally run company, you taking an Uber, is indeed a moral choice.
Or you know,
can't be taken off you, that mate.
I'd also like kind of like fake an illness, as in if I know I'm going to be late, I have done in the past, contact them before I know I'm going to be really late, and say I've just woken up. Feeling really unwell.
That isn't the same as doing anything to get somewhere on time. What? Oh,
someone's coming in.
Listeners. He's here.
Someone's coming in.
Hi.
Oh, hello. Oh, thanks for coming.
It's my absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Sorry, we're in the middle. Sorry, mate.
Listen, I just I'm.
There is a chair for you. I've just got a text from him saying I'm here. Are you not going to speak to us?
Just
are,
you,
are
like
we doing this via text now, are we?
Well, I am here.
You are here.
And I apologise for being late, but appreciate it.
What we've done is we've left your chair over there with stuff on it so that you have to do that.
So you're sort
get
of,
your coat off.
You're punishing me.
Get your coat off.
Well, I don't know. Well, I mean,
Go on.
I'll take my coat off in a second.
No, it's difficult.
Why are you
it's
late?
It's difficult for him.
Why are you late? He's dragging a chair over.
The size of this chair.
Do you want to help him? No, don't help him.
Oh, thank you.
Don't
help
him.
That's very kind of you, Alistair, but I'm all right.
We're all good. Professionals here.
Well,
apparently only two of us are.
Well.
But here we go.
Coat's coming off.
Stripping off that scarf, absolutely. There really is.
Hello.
He's here.
Hello.
It's
how you
Matt
doing?
Crosby, everyone.
Yay.
It's great to be here.
Yeah.
Turn my phone off.
Just relax.
It's just relax. Now, you've got a glass of water for me?
I think that's fresh. There's no more tricks.
Okay.
You can relax. I'm not going to make a thing of it, even though
The phrase, there's no more tricks, you can relax, is about the least relaxing phrase you can hear from a person, I think. There's no more tricks, you can relax.
What you've done, and I'm going to thank you for it, is for the very first time you've added drama.
Yeah, there's been a real... there's been an
drama
arc, hasn't
Sick Minds.
Act one.
And it's, you know, I'm not going to lie, it's thrown us.
Yeah, but I think it seems like you've dealt with it very well. There was a very nice good cop on Alistair's part, bad cop on your part, Nico.
Wouldn't it be a shame if when we listen back to it that the best bit was the bit when you weren't here yet?
Well, no, but you see, it's a new format. You're still working it out. If you realise that actually you're better off without guests or just better off without me.
Well, what he's proved is we're adaptable. We'll judge that over a series of guests.
Let's not decide straight away just because it was good without me that you should never have a guest ever again.
Exactly. Now, I'm going to ask you.
You're going to ask me, yeah.
Do you know what this is about? Do you know what Sick Minds is?
I do.
I've heard
one episode.
Have you?
So it's about, which is makes me an expert.
Yeah.
That's what you do, isn't it? You listen to one episode.
That's what I do with it.
It's what you
That's
do
what
with
I do with most of telly.
With all of telly, so that when you end up in a conversation and someone says, oh, what do you think of Stranger Things? You go, yeah, it's all right, isn't it? I watched the first one, it seems okay. And then you can feel like you're, you know, you've got a hold on the industry. So it's about kind of examining the dark recesses of the mind, the kind of the thoughts, the feelings that are often come up without you even realizing them, without even willing them to come up, that come from a darker place, a place that would otherwise be repressed, but you're sort of encouraging that we let them out.
You know what? I think you're better at this than Greg.
Yeah. All right.
Because he tried to sum it up before. It was
pathetic. It was perfect.
Yeah. Well, I'm afraid that's all the time I've got. I've got a train to catch. I'll see you later, guys.
Yeah. Really cheers, pal. Yeah,
cheers, guys.
He's going for it. His method. He stood up.
I didn't know how far to go.
Oh, it's like having Barrymore here.
It's good.
You don't know what he's going to do next.
Yeah, absolutely.
Talking of darkness.
Yeah.
Let's not go. Let's not go that dark.
There is a
but you're bang on.
But
that.
You're talking about the Barrymore that would remove the auto cue from Jonathan Ross when he was hosting the Comedy Awards rather than any of the sort of later stuff that tarnished his career.
That still is very unfair of Barrymore.
I miss him.
Done that.
Yeah, it's really.
It's still horrible.
I genuinely miss him.
I miss Barrymore. I thought he was brilliant. He sort of wasn't. He was very funny without being a comedian. He'd had a sort of sense of. Both being very establishment and also very anarchic. Who's the Barrymore equivalent
the
now?
The last Barrymore, I would say, was Shane Ritchie.
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. I think that's true.
There's probably the shades of it in Alan Carr, maybe.
Yeah.
Quite cheeky, a little bit sort of redcoatish.
Yep, definitely.
I
couldn't imagine Alan Carr doing a sort of song and dance number
on his head. During Strike It Looking.
Exactly, yeah.
Would we have the cynicism for that now, though? Would we see a Barrymore and just go, mm.
I don't know, because you get the other side of it. You get people who are very showbizzy, don't you? Your Brian Connollys, right? Your Brians.
You know me.
But you also get people who are quite edgy and anarchic, and you don't get anyone who's sort of melding the two. Keith Lemon, maybe?
That's pretty
close.
But then, again, he
wouldn't do a sort of... He wouldn't do a song and dance number. He wouldn't do. There's no sentimentality.
Not unless there's a lot of genital swear words.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now then.
So
Matt.
Now then, to coin another catchphrase of it.
Let's just catchphrases with Matt Crosby. And
well, it's only 50% of his catchphrase, really. He threw another now then in immediately
You've
afterwards.
You've got a catchphrase, haven't you?
Do I?
So, sorry, I'm late.
Sorry, I'm late. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm late.
Sorry,
it's Matt Crosby. Everyone.
Sorry, I'm late. Yeah.
Have you come with anything in your head, Matt, that has been worrying, troubling, or just disappointing to have in your head that you want to share with us?
I've got plenty, but let's start with how topical is this podcast? You know when it's going to be going out?
We've sort of been advised not to make it topical.
Okay. Well, it doesn't matter.
It can be broadly topical.
Are we going
to Donald Trump?
These people won't go out of the press. Yeah, Trump.
Right, yeah.
Do you not want to mention Trump?
We can do that.
Go for it.
So Trump is obviously, he's aligned himself with various far-right parties, or at least not aligned himself. He's not condemned them in the way that people would like
him
to.
He's just retweeted them, hasn't he?
He's retweeted Britain First. Today. So that's what he's gone for. He's retweeted Britain First.
Has he?
Yeah, pretty.
Just because it sounds like America First.
Yeah, I think so. Well, also it's very racist as well. And he's a big fan of racism. So anyway, I was reading this article and I saw a picture of the woman from the who's actually the deputy of Britain First, and immediately fancied her. Like immediately fancied her. Like not even like when you're sort of going, oh yeah, like that person's quite pretty. Like there was an immediate, I felt an immediate flip in my stomach and a sort of a pull in the genital region. I didn't pull my genital region. I was on the train. I was reading the Metro, but like an immediate boomf.
It's quite a concoction, isn't it?
It's
Trump, racism, Twitter, public transport.
It's all, and you've
gone. That's made you.
It's suddenly everything's
horny.
Yeah, everything's happened, and it's weirdly this is like my wife is not this type. I'm very happily married, but like in my sort of fantasy world, the kind of people I fancy are
Nazis,
usually right wing,
right,
often very powerful.
Wow.
So like Rebecca Wade. Knee Brooks. Yeah.
You not find her a bit scary?
Yeah, but I think that's part of it.
God, man,
definitely part of it. I mean, like, and I know she's just a Tory. She's not, you know, aggressively right wing or racist.
She's not just a Tory. She's like one of the main ones.
No, I was going to say the other
horse.
The other person. Yeah, I mean, she's part of the Shipping Norton set.
She goes horse riding with the ex prime minister who destroyed the country and then just wandered off into a shed.
Yeah, she does. And I'd like to be part of that gang.
You want to be part of that one?
Yeah,
do you?
I'd like to be Alex James.
Do you not think it would be? That you'd get there and then suddenly think, oh my God, I don't fit in. it was all a fantasy.
Yeah.
I've crossed the line.
This is the problem with fantasies, isn't it? If you ever get to live out your fantasies, you often realise, this was so much better up in the head than
but
it was.
But at least you get to live them out.
That's true.
That's the thing.
Then you learn
something from it.
And you can cross it off. You can cross it off the bucket list, can't you? If I get to, if I ever get to have sex with Karen from The Apprentice...
Right.
Another one of my top right-wing babes. I'd probably be halfway through going, this isn't what I wanted, but at least I know now this isn't what I wanted. The worst one of all, because it crosses into, and this is, there aren't many men that I fancy, but it's 2017, we can be open
really
here.
Really going there, aren't you?
But George Osborne. Just gets me absolutely where it's pure.
Really?
I don't know what it is about Osborne.
Is it the fact that there isn't a person behind his eyes?
I think that's what it is.
Is that what it is?
You go, if you're willing to do that to the country, what are you willing to do to me?
So, yeah, Britain first, but kind of morals second.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Yeah. And obviously, I've got to, because many of your listeners will have no idea who I am. Because I'm often when they arrange to meet,
we're banking on your name getting us listeners.
But okay, so just say they're just generally fans of the podcast; they don't know me.
Yeah.
I cannot stress enough: I am left-leaning, liberal, Labour voting.
Yeah, it's like a cliched.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lily-livered.
Bleeding heart.
Liberal. Even got the beard.
Snowflake. All of that. Politically. That's where I am.
Yeah.
But, sometimes...
Deep down. That is something we talk about a lot, is that you absolutely know where your moral compass is in real life. But now and again,
you feel
something rises up in you.
Yeah.
That is a bit inhuman and beastly and unfair.
Yes.
The sort of what I would call, not to turn half the listeners off, but my inner Tory.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
But my inner Tory is apparently, would be kicked out of the Tory party for being too racist. That's how bad my inner Tory is.
As you get older, what it seems to be the case is that everyone we know that's older is quite happy to be selfish and a bit more.
Yeah, I think there are plenty of people I know who are kind of in their late 40s, early 50s, who are sort of happily centrist, I would say, but centrist to the right, or maybe even moving to the sort of the middle of the Tory party. But at the moment, we're still clear.
And I don't think I honestly don't think that will ever happen to me politically. But,
I can't see it happening.
But
might
I can understand the.
But what you mean is it's already happened to me.
Come on, sorry.
No. I'm aware of it encroaching on me. Yeah. That it's a possibility.
I think just as you get older, you're less bothered about impressing everyone and caring about everyone else, because you just get a little bit scared of things and you just want to be in your own little world.
I think fear does play a big part
of it.
It's all
to do with fear.
It's about, and I think it's the idea of thinking, well, obviously in an ideal world, we'd all have loads of money and it would be spread evenly and there'd be no poverty and there'd be no one who's phenomenally rich either, but everyone would kind of have a little bit of... but then you get to a point where you go... Well, I'm in my 40s. I've made my money.
Have you?
Well, no, I'm not in my 40s, nor have I made my money, but this is me imagining me in the future. Right. I'm in my 40s. I've made my money. Let me at least keep this money that I've made. I think that's the mentality.
You become a tax voter.
Yeah, exactly. So. Or you go, well, I need my money to share with my kids, or my family.
So back to the sex with the Nazis.
Let's talk about it.
Who's the worst person you've ever fancied, Griggs?
Well,
it's the weirdest crush you've ever had.
I actually had a date once with a Russian girl who was very attractive, but within a minute of us meeting, it was abundantly clear that she was a proper racist.
Was it the uniform?
She said something I can't repeat.
Within a minute?
But yeah, within a minute.
Oh, God.
Well, she said, it's really great to meet someone like you. Oh. And I said, well, how do you mean? And she said, well, and I went, oh, right. And to my shame, I stayed for the rest of the date.
Did she qualify that she meant
that's white privilege right there.
Blonde-haired, blue-eyed, you know, Aryan nation.
Just to describe Griggs for the listeners.
He looks like a Nazi poster boy.
He does. You're Aryan looking.
He's got an
Aryan.
Have
you got any sort of Germanic heritage?
Love that.
You'd love that, would you?
If I found out that, like, a great-grandfather or something was sort of
tried at
connected, yeah, a little bit,
little bit
it would be kind of cool, yeah.
So she liked that straight away, and obviously I'd like to think that at least part of your heart sank when you realised you were sitting with a monster.
I realised this was not going to be a long-term thing, but she then...
Oh, God! Just short-term Nazi dating?
It was. Like, wait, doesn't matter, does it?
What she's just said is appalling.
Yeah,
I reckon I could get a couple of months.
I just struck her off. I just went, well, all I'm going to do now is just sort of bear this for a few hours and see what happens.
Right.
And so, I'm pleased to say I won't go.
No, that's interesting. Now, that's interesting
really?
Because it...
Yeah, you know what? Yeah. We're not sitting here discussing sexual conquests, at least...
But at the
least,
same...
Sorry.
At the same time, it's less about the sexual conquest. It's more about the suspension of morals.
Yes,
isn't it?
Thank you,
so,
Matt.
So just to go back to it, it's about how strong are your morals? You know, how much are you a fan of being a liberal... You know, if you met somebody who was... I'm sure there must be households where there's a Labour and a Tory voter married, but if someone was properly... a proper racist...
Yeah.
That's a tricky one, isn't it?
Exactly. You can't do it.
It's unsustainable. With that much hate. You couldn't go anywhere.
No, you would never agree on anything.
Even if they're not saying anything, they're just...
They'd always want to go
scolding,
see the band Screwdriver.
Scolding, and you know what they're thinking. It's like, come on, just...
Yeah.
Switch
good,
it off.
Good idea for a TV show.
Switch it off, Svetlana. So I'm like trying to relax. Together. Just eat your curry. Trying to think who my weirdest
crush
is.
Who's your darkest crush?
I don't think I've got like a dark, twisted crush. Unless you count Emperor Ming's daughter out of Flash Gordon.
Yeah.
Who was played by an Italian actress called Ornella Muti.
Right.
So
lovely.
That is a bit weird because... I saw that film in 1981 when it came out, or 1980, whenever it was. So I'd have been about 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Right. And there's a scene in it, like, she's very flirty. She's all over Flash Gordon, even though he's into Dale Arden.
Yeah.
And she's right flirty with her dad. Ming. She's
right.
Sort of like, she tries to get round him because Flash Gordon's going to be killed, right? And he's like, okay, you know, send him to the chambers or whatever. And she's like... Papa, let me keep him. And she's like stroking his face and it sort of wins him over.
That's
so then
right.
She's allowed to sort of have a little play with him before he dies. But then because she fancies him, she sort of tries to save him. And then the next thing you know, she's strapped face down to a sort of bed and she's been whipped. And it's like really kinky. She's in like...
It's a very kinky film, Flash Gordon. Because I remember when I was... Again, I must have been 8 or 9 when I saw Flash Gordon. But there is the bit where he's got the mask on and he's got his hand, his hands chained above his head. And it's very bondagey. I remember watching it going, I'm not sure what's going on here.
Mm.
And I'm not sure if I like it or dislike it.
Mm.
Either way, I'm going to carry on watching. It's a sort of weird, a weird sexual awakening
where the
film.
Guy gets his, like, memory wiped.
That's right.
That is sort of weirdly from
the rocket professor guy.
That's kind
Topol.
Of...
If That's I'm not mistaken. It,
yeah.
Is it Topol?
Topol. And he's like strapped down and they're sort of erasing his memory.
And there's a screen showing what he's losing.
Yeah, and it's almost from a psychological perspective fairly erotic.
Right.
Is that what you'd like? You'd like to erase some of your memories?
I'd like to erase your memories, to be honest.
No, I'd like to erase the memories.
This podcast would cease. I just feel like there'd be a better human being in the world.
My favorite Why am I judged?
My favourite thing about that movie trope of wiping someone's memory and it's all on the screen and it always shows Vietnam and the Beatles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They always do that bit.
It's basically newsreel footage they could find, isn't
Man on
it?
The Moon.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. But then he says he recites Beatles lyrics to stop his memory from going away, doesn't he? That's because in the end his memory doesn't.
What, Topol?
Yeah, so Topol's lying there and he decides as he's doing it, like, anything I can... Do you ever you know that thing? Anything
he anchors himself to humanity via the Beatles,
via little memories. You know how sometimes you'll be thinking of something and go, "How do I get to here from where I was?" Mm. You know, your mind wanders and you're suddenly thinking about a thing, and you can plot it back. Oh, I thought about this that led to that, which led to this that led to that. That's kind of what he did, but in reverse.
Very clever,
very clever,
very
stuff.
Clever man.
Have you You got anything you want to share with us today?
One thing I'm drawing the line on, and it's making me really angry, is that the Admiral in the Admiral car insurance advert has been recast as a woman.
Oh, no.
And
that's for you is beyond the pale.
That's really bad, because the Admiral was an Admiral. It mm-hmm. was a middle-aged man.
Yeah.
That's an Admiral. Now it's become a lady in fancy dress.
And what do you mean in fancy dress? What?
Well, she's just dressed up as an admiral.
How do you know she's not an actual admiral?
This is the thing. He was playing a 18th century naval admiral,
right,
and he really looked the part.
Right.
Women were not admirals. Mm-hmm. They were not naval admirals.
What era are we talking about here? What period in history is it?
This is like Wellington. No, what's his name? Nelson? Yeah. Nelson, like,
What's that,
1700s? 1700s, and the Admiral was, hello, Admiral Car Insurance. And you did feel like, oh, right.
did they have car insurance in the 1700s?
But he was really ahead of the curve, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So can I ask then, because recently they made, because all they're trying to do, it used to be a sort of middle-aged gentleman, now it's a young lady. That's what they've done, right? Mm. Did you feel the same way when they made Captain Birdseye a sort of young, slightly hunky, slightly milk tray man type figure? Or is it specifically a gendered thing?
It's not a gendered thing, because Captain Birdseye, I guess I didn't mind so much. The one which I did go, what are you doing, was when they recast Mr. Muscle as a genuinely muscular man.
Yeah, that I'm with you on that. That doesn't make any sense at all.
They have sucked the irony out of the whole thing. It's now not a joke. It's like someone's come along and just gone, oh, but wouldn't it actually be better if it was a muscular man? And someone went, well, so
it's exactly the opposite of what our entire brand's built on.
The whole joke is that, no, but, you know, let's just have a muscular man so you know he's definitely going to clean it up because he's got big guns.
But joking aside, the idea was that the Mr. Muscle who was spraying on their product, it didn't matter how strong he was.
Exactly.
Because the product did all the heavy lifting.
All the bloody heavy lifting.
And if you've got a muscular man, you could go, well, that could be a really weak product. He's just got a very strong arm, which is why the grease stain has disappeared from the surface.
Well, I don't know about you, Alistair, but I think it's about time that we put Matthew to the test with a little bit of "You Shouldn't Laugh." Do you know what that is, Matt? You shouldn't laugh?
The idea is you're going to say some things to me or read some things to me, and the idea is I've got to not laugh, and if I do well, I go on some sort of leaderboard. Is that right?
It's good,
leaderboard?
Isn't it?
Yeah,
pretty much.
Although we've slightly changed the format.
Okay.
So that it's us two that are on a leaderboard, and we're going to, over the series, we're going to see how many laughs we get to see who's in the lead.
Whoever
out of me and Griggs gets to 10 laughs first, they're allowed to think up a humiliating experience for the other one to do, which will then be recorded and put on the show.
Great.
Yeah? And we'll think of the punishment at the time, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So
that's how well thought through that is.
Yeah. I'll try and be as honest as possible, but bear in mind... Yeah. Alistair was much nicer to me.
You shouldn't laugh.
Here we go. I've been posting my letters in the dog poo box for 2 years.
He's held that together.
Oh, no.
Okay.
I'm going to choose a good one.
Okay. Moment to compose myself. Yeah. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
I thought this was going to be easier than it was, and it's not as easy as you think.
It's not easy. If I'm honest, I'm sort of manipulating you a little bit by putting a bit of tension in it. Okay. Oh, some of these are good. I like this one. Okay, try this. Werewolf seized in Southend. We swallowed it.
It's nil-nil. Managed to swallow
it's
it back
nil-nil.
Down.
Oh, he didn't laugh.
That was...
Did that work? I don't know. It doesn't matter. Does it matter?
No, you're trying this out. Why not?
I think I should try another one. I can't resist. Until he laughs, right?
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
Stand by. Here we go. Knickknacks turn my bell end orange.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
Oh, yes, get in.
All right, do I get really the chance to try and equalise?
Okay, I really didn't think that was where that was going to go.
Okay. Okay. Oh, God, I'm sorry. Okay, you shouldn't laugh. Booted out of ISIS for wearing Aldi trainers.
He swallowed it again.
Which
means
1-0
to Griggs.
Oh,
congratulations.
So
I'm 1-0 up.
So it's been wonderful talking to you, Matt.
It's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
I feel quite positive about you fitting in with the aesthetic of Sick Minds, but it isn't up to me.
Okay.
Ultimately, whether you know, like your success as a guest on this show is down to the Imp of the Mind, which is an entity. How would you describe him, Alistair?
He's a sort of demonic spawn from another realm of darkness and fear. Mm. Pretty much that.
Sure, sounds great.
If you're happy to sort of go before him,
I can't wait to meet him.
And we'll see how he feels about you.
Nice to put a face to a name.
Mm. Right, we'll just. Into his hell cave.
Who comes before me?
It's me, Matthew Crosby.
Speak up.
It's me, Matthew Crosby.
Hello, Matthew Crosby.
Hello, the Imp.
Hello, Imp. I just want to present Matthew to you. I hope you've been listening to what we've been talking about. We just want to know whether Matthew is worthy of the Sick Minds membership.
Yes, I've been listening to his babblings.
Okay.
I am making my decision.
Okay.
Matthew Crosby, you indeed have a sick mind.
Oh, fantastic.
You are welcome to bathe in my dark waters and wash yourself in my blood.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. Thank you so much.
And maybe you should apologise that you were late.
Oh, so sorry about being late. That's all part of my sort of evil plan.
Yes, I appreciate that.
Yes, yes.
Very good comic timing.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you, thank you. What a pleasure meeting you. Bye. Bye-bye now.
Leave you to Matt. Oh, well, you've pulled it around there, mate.
I feel really good now.
Well done, man.
I feel vindicated.
Yeah, you are vindicated.
And I appreciate that that you being so mean to me as I was coming in was all part of a sort of hazing ritual. It's like boarding school in that respect.
It was, by some distance, the best bit.
It was.
It's worth saying as well that we... We never end the show leaving our audience in any doubt that we're actually horrible, despite some of the things we may have all just started to admit, things that would make some people have a problem with us.
Of course.
So we like to end on a positive, you know. We like go around the group and maybe to try and leave an image that paints you in a better light. Matthew, have you got anything you want to throw into that particular pot?
Well, yes, I'm currently looking after a cat, which is a lovely little cat called Charlie, which is also my wife's name, so that's quite confusing verbally, not physically. But we have a nice time, and just this week I think we finally cracked training the cat to use the litter tray. So that is a huge positive, to come home to not have shit all over the floor of my house.
Yeah,
that is my glowing moment of joy for the week.
You've helped a little creature progress in the world.
Absolutely.
That's sweet. Griggs?
Well, you know, I don't want to be a traditionalist, but I think just Prince Harry and Meghan, I forget her name,
Markle.
Yeah, that one. Markle. Getting married, I think that's great. I think that's, you know, it's easy to be cynical about those things, but I think that's really nice.
Love's young dream.
It is topical, though. Yeah, and sure. This could be going out at any point.
I mean, they're still going to be getting married, presumably.
I'm really pleased that Prince Harry and Meghan Markle have been married for a period of time.
See, that in itself is a lovely thing to see you embrace that swerve. Well, there was lovely.
Hurts.
I was on a train, and as the train doors closed and moved off, a little boy of about three or four, saw that his teddy bear was on the bench on the platform as the train moved off,
oh,
and he
no.
burst into tears, and the whole carriage was devastated. But he also had his little, no, it was a little girl, right? And she was devastated. And the little brother was so distraught for his sister, he was crying. And he was so sweet to her through that whole journey that the entire carriage felt like being in a Disney movie.
Oh.
For about 20 minutes, because everyone just wanted the best for these two little kids, and there was loads of love everywhere. Isn't that sweet?
That's very sweet, oh. yeah.
So I'm going to... That's my offering to show that I'm not a monster. It's well, lovely. Thanks for joining us.
What an absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Eventually,
yeah. I mean, blame the trains. It was the trains, not me. I've been chomping at the bit to come and do this.
And it was lovely to have you, my friend.
What a joy.
By the way... if you've enjoyed today's episode of Sick Minds, it's worth you knowing that you can find us variously. I'm on Twitter as @NicoTatz, NicoTatz. Matt, are you
I am.
Out there?
I'm @MatthewCrosby,
yeah,
which is MatthewCrosby.
And I'm @AliGriggs, AliGriggs.
That's on the Twitters. You can find this podcast on the podcast button. And on iTunes, probably.
People know where podcasts are, don't they?
Yeah.
They get it.
Please join us again next time on
Sick Minds.